Haridas Thakur ki. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the Shikuru and Kalanda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, text 9. So we'll chant together verse 12. So anybody that wants to chant 9 through 11 with me is welcome to. Shatavarshayana vishtir vavishyat yubana bhuvi taklopalchichitshnaiko lokam strinpatapishati. As cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on earth for 100 years. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. Text 10. Patala talamarabhya sankarshana mukhala dahanurvashiko vishpa vadate vayunirshita. Translation. Beginning from Tala Loka grows a fire emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarshan. Its flames shooting upward, driven by great winds, it scorches everything in all directions. Text 11. Samvartako megagano varshati smashitam sama dada bir hasti hashta bir liyate shalile virat. Hordes of clouds called Samvartaka pour torrents of rain for 100 years, flooding down in raindrops as long as the trunk of an elephant. The deadly rainfall submerges the entire universe in water. Okay, text 12, we'll do this responsively. Tito virajam uchridja varaja purushanipa avyaktam vishite shukshmam Nirindana Ivanala Tato Virajam Uchridja Vairaja Purushanipa Avyaktam Vishite Shukshmam Nirindana Ivanala. Tato virajam uchridja vairaja purushanipa avyaktam vishate shikshmam nirindana ivanala. Tato virajam uchridja vairaja purushanipa avyaktam vishite shukshmam nirindana ivanala. Ladies? Tato virajam uchridja vairaja purushanipa avyaktam vishite shukshmam Nirindana Ivanala. Tato virajam uchridja vairaja purushanipa avyaktam vishite shukshmam Nirindana Ivanala. Okay, Vaishnava Academy. Tito virajam utsrija. Maharaja purusho nipa. Avyaktam visite shukshmam. Nirindana ivanala. Tito virajam utsrija. Varaja purusho nipa avyaktam visite shukshmam nirindana ivanala tato virajam utsrija varaja purusho nipa avyaktam visite shukshmam nirindana ivanala tito virajam utsrija araja purusho nipa avyaktam visite shukshmam nirindana ivanala Tata, tata. Then, Virajam, the universe, Utsrija, giving up as his body. Varaja, Purusha, the personality of the universal form. Hiranyagarbha Brahma. Nipa, O King Nimi. Avyaktam, unmanifest nature, the pradam. Vishite, he enters. Shukshmam, subtle. Nirindana, devoid of fuel. Eva, light. Anala, a fire. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Then Vairaja Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body, O King, and enters into the subtle, unmanifest nature like a fire that has run out of fuel. I say, you say. Then Vairaja Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body, O King, and enters into the subtle, unmanifest nature, like a fire that has run out of fuel. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. I'm just going to read just a section of the purport and just try to hit on the points, because I think it's kind of detailed and might be confusing for the students. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word Vairaja in this verse indicates the totality of the individual conditioned souls who originally take birth from Brahma and are amalgamated back into him at the time of annihilation. By the manifestation of Virat Purush, the universal form of the Lord, there is a temporary display of forms, qualities, and activities within the material creation. But the entire cosmic scene reverts to inert formlessness when the creation is withdrawn by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, there's a description here given of the cosmic annihilation, and it's pretty amazing. Can anybody remember anything, what it said about the cosmic annihilation? Yes, Goranga. Be a drop for 100 years. What else? Anything else you can remember? Anything you remember about the kind of cloud that comes? What kind of cloud was it? Goranga? Samvartika cloud. What do we know about the Samvartika cloud? What do we know about that kind of a cloud? What can it do? Anybody? I know you know. Okay. Yes. It can destroy. It can totally destroy. Anyone remember anything about the raindrops? About the raindrops? Yes. As the trunk of an elephant, that's right. So think about, you know, the raindrops that we see, they're pretty little, right? And then think about a raindrop that's like as long as the trunk of an elephant. So this is all descriptions
of the cosmic annihilation. I was going to read a little bit about what Srila Prabhupada says about it here. Prabhupada says, gradually it is being done. As the days will go on, the seawater will be evaporated. And at the end, there will be no water. These are the statements. Toward destruction, there will be no water. Just like now, it has already begun. There is scarcity of water, no rainfall. So we see that the lakes and rivers and other reservoirs, they are becoming dried up. With the advancement of Kali Yuga, there will be scarcity of supply, but the water will dry up gradually. The result will be there will be no water. As there will be no water, everything, all living entities, vegetation, living being, everything will finish, will die. For hundreds of years, there will be no water. And then when everything is finished, dried up, burned into ashes, the sunshine, the glare of the sunshine will be 12 times increased. So think about how hot a day is here in Florida. And think about 12 times that hot. That's hot. And the sunshine, there will be no water. So how can one live? So everything on this planet will be finished. And then being warmer, warmer, there will be fire. In the fire, all planets of the universe will be burned into ashes. Then there will be rainfall, another for 100 years. So the whole universe will be filled up with water. Then it will be evaporated. And the whole universe, cosmic manifestation, finished. This is called annihilation. So it also describes that this cosmic annihilation, it follows Lord Brahma, that Lord Brahma's, when his day is ended, that is when the cosmic annihilation takes place. And when his day begins, that's when the living entities are reinstated. They're again manifest, and they go on with all their desires. So anybody know how long a day of Brahma is? Anybody want to venture a guess? How long is? Yes. Quite a few cycles, but that's good. Yeah, actually, the amount of years is 4,300,000,000 years. That's a day of Lord Brahma, one day. So that's a long, long, long time. And there's some stories surrounding time, because it says in Srila Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says how every planet has its own Kala Chakra. And Kala is a name for Krishna, it means time. So every planet has its own Kala Chakra and its own schedule of time. So sometimes it gets a little confusing. And I'll tell you a little story about King Indrajumna, and how, you know, he had heard about Lord Jagannath, he'd heard about actually Nilamadava, and his form is Nilamadava, and he was very attracted to seeing this form. And so he sent his servant Vijayapati out to look for him, and which he did find him. But when he finally brought King Indrajumna there, Nilamadava was gone, and they heard an unembodied voice that explained that he would come in a different form. And so because he was coming, King Indrajumna became very enthusiastic, and he decided to build a temple in preparation for Lord Jagannath's arrival. And he worked for decades on it and just made it perfect, found the perfect marble, the perfect gems, the perfect stones to build this beautiful temple. And then he decided that he would go up to the heavenly planets. He had so much Shakti, he had so much accumulated pious activities, that he was able to ascend to the heavenly planets. You can't really think of doing that, but if someone has enough pious activities, enough austerity, they can do that. So he went up there, and he asked Lord Brahma if he could please come when the Lord came so he could install him. And then he came back. Then he came back to Earth. When he came back to Earth on his flower airplane, and he got off the flower airplane, he was so excited, you know, to see his temple again, and, you know, everything. He said he felt like he knew each stone separately. But one thing that was unusual is that he was hoping, you know, he was expecting that Vidyapati, his good friend, would be there to greet him. And he was also hoping that his loyal, faithful wife and servants would be there also. And as he's walking through the temple compound, he starts to feel like a stranger in his own temple. And he gets a little scared, like, What's going on here? What's happening? Why aren't my friends and my wife, why are they not here to greet me? And all of a sudden, there is a crow, and his name is Bushundi. He's a sacred crow who resides in a sacred tree, who has been observing things for millions and millions of years. So he explains to King Indrajumna that the short time that he'd gone up to see Lord Brahma, that generations have passed, and that they're all the people that he knew, they're all gone. They're all gone now. So you can imagine the conflict that King Indrajumna was going through, that he's so excited about the Lord coming, but he's so disappointed and sad that he's not going to be able to greet the Lord with all of his friends. So that shows how time works on the heavenly planets as compared to our earth planet. And there's another story similar, where a devotee named Ravata Krishmudi, that he decides to go visit Lord Brahma because he has a daughter of marriageable age and he can't decide who she should marry. You know, there's several possibly qualified persons, but he wants to get Lord Brahma's advice. So he also goes up to the heavenly planets with his daughter, and they're both extremely tall. You know, they're from a race of extremely tall people. But when he gets to the heavenly planet and he sees Lord Brahma is watching a musical performance by the Gandharvas, so they have to wait until the musical performance is over. And then they state their question to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma looks at them kind of slyly. Do you have an idea why Lord Brahma might look at them kind of slyly? Anybody know? Lord Brahma says, "You know what, Revata? All the people, all those men that you thought from the core of your heart might be qualified to marry your daughter, they're all gone. Again, generations have passed, and so it's not possible for them to marry your daughter. But," he says, "I have an idea." He said, "I think Balaram would be the perfect person to marry your daughter." The only trouble was is she's so, so tall. So it explains that at night, Balaram goes with his plow, and he makes adjustments to Revata's daughter. And she becomes very happy. And guess who performs the marriage? Krishna. Krishna performs the marriage. So anyway, this gives you a little idea how time works. And I did a little research. We're talking about this long lifespan of Lord Brahma, living for 4,300,000,000 years. But there's also living entities who have a very, very short lifespan. And anybody know what kind of living entity might have a very short lifespan? I bet some of you know. Anybody? Garunga? A bee has a pretty short lifespan, yes. A worm also has, good, yes. A fly has a very short lifespan also, yes. Garunga? A germ, yeah, definitely. I looked it up and I found that a mayfly lives for one day. He lives for 24 hours. That's his whole lifespan. So just think, if your lifespan was 24, your whole lifespan is 24 hours, what would you do? What would you do? Being a devotee, what would you do if you know you only had 24 hours left? Yes. You would chant. You might even stay up all night and figure, "I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to chant for 24 hours, and then I'll be able to go back to God at the end of this lifetime," you know? So, and that's how, yes. You would go where? Very nice. Excellent, excellent plans, yes. You would take a trip to India, so that would really be potent, because in the Holy Dham, it's like, whatever you do is like 1,000 times. So when you're chanting one round, it's like chanting 1,000 rounds. So that also is an excellent idea. So because, just like we think, oh, a day is nothing, when the demigods look down at our lives and they, you know, and they live just like on the heavenly planet, 6 months of our time is like one day for them. So they think, oh, wow, I want to take birth on the earth planet, you know, in ISKCON, because first of all, they're so fortunate that they have all of Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada was just there. They're thinking they are so fortunate to, we are so fortunate to have such a short life. Like you live 100 years at, that's considered a long life, right? And Prabhupada says, as time goes on in Kali Yuga, the lifespans will become shorter and shorter until finally, when you're 30 years old, you'll be considered to be a grand old man. So, the demigods are looking and they're wanting to take birth as devotees. In fact, Prabhupada said that many demigods were waiting in line to take birth in ISKCON. Some of you, or all of you, may have been demigods in your last life. And you wanted to take birth in ISKCON just so that you could have a shorter time to devote your life to Krishna and that you could do so much preaching work. So here you are. This is it. This is your life. And you can really make the most of it. There was some other research that I did on long lives. Of course, Prabhupada says just like a Galapagos turtle, he lives for 226 years. He can live that long. Or a koi fish. Who would know that a koi fish could also live for like 250 years? That's one of the longest ones that they found. But a long life doesn't mean a perfect life. Like a tree can live. There's a tree in the Sequoia Forest. It's called the General Sherman tree. And that tree, at last counting, was like 500 years old. That tree was actually on the planet when Lord Chaitanya appeared. So, but there's no, and maybe that tree is very special. Yes, fun. You saw the General Sherman tree, yeah. So probably kind of a special tree because he was on the planet when Lord Chaitanya was here. So maybe that tree is going to go back to Godhead. But just being a tree, ordinary tree, that is no guarantee that you're going to go back to Godhead. So it's important that we use our time wisely, that we use our time in Krishna consciousness, because time is going by and we can't get back 1 second, no matter how much we want it. Once that second's gone, you can't take it back. Prabhupada said, with each setting of sun, there's a day that's lost and you can never get it back. What about if you're a trillionaire? Could you get it back then? No. You can't get it back no matter how much money you have. And Prabhupada also explains when he's talking about Prahlad that part of Prahlad's prayers talks about the wheel of time. The wheel of time. And Prahlad says that we're all being crushed by it. We're all being crushed by that wheel of time. And it's called, what is it called? Nishpidyamanam, crushed by the wheel of time. So it just go, you know, all our senses, everything, we're just being driven. And the only way to get out of this crushing factor is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dhammam pratyajam omikam sarambrajaham tvam sarva pabhijo moksha sami masachahava. Krishna said, just surrender to me. So that idea of surrender, that idea of prapana means that as we surrender to Krishna, then the modes of material nature and all the difficulties that come along with it, they start to lift. We start to become free of them. And if we don't, even Lord Indra becomes subjected to this crushing factor. I'll tell you a story about Lord Indra. That's really an interesting story. Lord Indra is a very powerful demigod. He's in charge of so many of the affairs on the heavenly planets. But he also has nth degree of facility for sense gratification. So he became very caught up in his sense gratification and also became very puffed up and proud. So puffed up that his spiritual mother, Brihaspati, he scolded him. Like, who do you think you are? What are you doing? But he was so much in illusion, Indra, that he was offensive to Brihaspati. So Brihaspati said, all right, that's it. I'm going to teach him a lesson. You're going to be a pig on a lower planet. So boom, there is Indra in a pig body. And Indra, because he's covered by illusion, he's very happy with his pig body. He's like, wow, now here I am in all this mud. This is fun. I love to be in mud and just roll in it. You know, this is great, you know. And I've got my pig wife, and she's gorgeous. And all my little piggy children, they're so cute, you know. So meantime, in the heavenly planets, because Indra has so many responsibilities, you know, things aren't going as well as they usually go because Indra's not there. So Brihaspati comes down in his flower airplane, and he's like, Lord Indra, we need you to come back. Have you learned your lesson? He's in so much maya. He's in so much illusion. He goes, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm happy here in the mud. The farmer brings me a pail of stool every day. Mm-hmm. It's so delicious. It's so good. And I love my wife, and I love all my little piggies. But, uh-oh, here comes the farmer. And the farmer has a big knife. And he kills his wife. Oh, no. And just like, oh, no. He's so upset that his wife is gone. And then the farmer starts with the little piggy children. And he's just, oh, my gosh. And then he looks at Brihaspati because he sees the farmer coming towards him. And he goes, I'm coming. I'm coming wherever you're going. And he gets on the flower airplane. He goes back to heavenly planets. And he has a realization of how powerful Maya is. And he's able to regain his position. So we always have to remember to try to be immersed in that spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord. Because then we're safe. Then we're safe. But it's so easy to be caught up in the illusory energy. Prabhupada gives another example. This is like so amazing to me. It's a story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a temple in Burma, Rangoon. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tells a story that the people in Burma have a very unusual habit of keeping a big jug by their door, and anything that dies, they put it into the jar. A dead rat? Great. Stick it in the jar. Oh, a dead snake? Great. Put it in the jar. Anything. You know, got some extra pig meat? Throw it in the jar. You know, grasshoppers? Throw them in. Whatever you find, put them in. And then they just let it rot. They just let it decompose until it becomes completely liquid. And when it becomes completely liquid, they strain it. So there's no matter in it, it's just liquid. And this is considered a wonderful delicacy. And when there's a special festival, it's called a Natfi. Natfi. When there's a special festival, they take this bottle of juice, of rotted juice, and they put just a tad of it on their preparations. And they just love it. They just think it's the most delicious thing ever. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta talks about when they were there and the devotees were making their preparations for a feast, they had their big pot of ghee and they're making puris in the ghee. And the Burma people are like, oh, what is that? What's that horrible smell? I can't take it. It's terrible. So this, again, is how Maya works. You know, it, like if you live your life as an animal, as a pig, Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, he trains you up to be ready for your pig body. And so that you will like it. You will like it. So we want to, again, take every opportunity to be able to relish the very fortunate position that we have as devotees and to make other people fortunate as well. Because people, they just don't know. You are very fortunate due to your past pious activities, like it says in chapter 7, Yesham Twantakatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Dwanda Bhajanir Mukta Bhajantimam Jidavarha. As living any who has accumulated pious activities in this life and his last life, One who is accumulated. Help me with that. How does that? Yeah, anyway, to summarize it, the way the verse goes is that he engages in Krishna service with determination. So you all have obviously performed pious activities in your last life in order to be born into a devotee family. And so you don't want to misuse that opportunity, because sometimes devotees can misuse that opportunity. Can anyone remember someone who is a Brahmin and he misuses the opportunity that he has in a pious verse? Yes. Ajamil, great example. Here he is. He's in a Brahmin family. And he completely loses it, except for the fact that he did name his son Narayan. And so he's saved from that. You know, just by a stroke of fortune. Yes, Gauranga. Who? Sringi. Yeah. So there's many examples. So it's not automatic that we're a devotee and we're always going to be a devotee. It means that we have to do our part. You know, we have to try to channel a little bit every day, however much you do. I mean, some of you might chant a lot of rounds a day. Some of you may chant one round. The point is that whatever you can do, to do it with steadiness, you know, to do it with love, and to do it with the understanding that we want to get a higher taste. Param dishva vivartite, that if one has a higher taste, it's easy to give up something that's lower. Like sometimes, I know when my son went to school in Hawaii, there was no Gurukula there. So for a while he was going to a regular public school. So he would go there and he'd take out his lunch and the other children would see it and they'd be like, whoa, what is that? And he explained to them, I'm vegetarian and, you know, I don't eat meat. And one of the boys, you know, put a hamburger in front of him, goes, go ahead, have a hamburger, your mom will never know. You know, your mom will never know. Go ahead, have a bite. And my son Ramananda was like, Mom, he thought that I might want to eat it. He was like completely bewildered, like he couldn't believe that they thought that he would want to eat a dead carcass, you know? So, but, you know, that's what the illusory energy can do. So whether you are a Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is a post, you know? Lord Brahma is sometimes someone who's performed a lot of pious activities, like many, many Ashwamedha sacrifices, and he becomes Lord Brahma. But after the annihilation, he'll take birth again. He'll have a high birth. Sometimes they get liberation, someone from the post of Brahma. Or if he's a devotee of Krishna, then he'll take birth as an associate of the Lord. So whatever birth, you may have a very, very long life. You may have a very, very short life. We don't know how long we have yet. That's right. That's right, how he suffers. So because of that, they'll have to take birth and go through that experience, right? But that's exactly the reason why devotees go out in Harinam and devotees go on book distribution, so that people will have an opportunity to learn about it. Because they completely forget that. That's part of the covering potency, that when you die, because if you have that propensity to want to enjoy, Krishna allows you to forget everything so you can so-called enjoy in this material world. If you don't want to forget, just like there's a good example of someone who took birth as an animal, but he didn't forget his past life. Who was that? Who was it? Yes. Who? Gajendra. Yes. That's a great example. And there's another one, Sham. King Bharat, that's what I was thinking of. That's one you were thinking of too, right, Gauranga? So because they were devotees, but due to some unfortunate circumstance in both cases, they took birth as an animal, but they remembered their past lives. So if you want to remember Krishna, Krishna allows you to remember him, even if by some chance you take birth as an animal. But if you don't want to remember Krishna, he'll take all that memory away, and you can go on lifetime after lifetime trying to enjoy in this material world. And one thing I want to mention too is when there is that annihilation, the cosmic annihilation, the spiritual planets are not part of that. So everything is annihilated except for the Vaikuntha Loka planets and planets where the great sages and the mystics live, you know, the highly evolved living entities. So we want to be part of that population, that when the annihilation comes, that we are not part of that. So I think my time is coming to an end. Would anyone like to make a comment? Or would someone like to ask a question? Or would someone just like to say something that they heard that they thought was interesting, a reflection? All right, just think of something that you heard. Yes, Gopal. No, he's not always the same Brahma. It's a post. So it can be a different personality. I didn't know that for a long time either. I thought it was really interesting, right? Yeah. Yes, you know.
He was feeling sad because, his wife and his, children were dying, and then all of a sudden he's like, I want to go back.
Right. It's amazing that could happen to Lord Indra, right? And you have to think, why did that happen to Lord Indra? What happened that happened because he made an offense.
He was in Maya.
Yeah, he was in Maya, and he made an offense. So, yes. All right. Anything else? Yes.
Also, Lord Brahma steals the cows.
That's right. I didn't even think of that story. It's a great story. Yeah. Yeah, it was like one second went by, right? Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
Very important point. All the devotees should note that our scripture speaks about the longevity of life in other ages, but also so is the status, the height, but it does not give like specifics. But I did some research and I found that in one of the tantras, Lord Shiva explained the size of the living entities, or at least the human being. And it says in Sati Yoga, the height is 21 cubits, which is about over 30 feet. In Treta Yoga, it's 14 cubits, which is like 20-something feet. In Dwarpa Yoga, it is 7 cubits, which is like over 15 or something. And then in Kali Yuga, it's like 3.5 cubits. So that would go around 8 and lower, below. But that's so really, so at least we know that now, you know. That. So that's why you were speaking about Revati, because she was from another age, you know, and she remained very tall. See, and so then Balaram bring her to size.
Interesting. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Birthday.